Good morning, Council. This is the case of Tierney versus Tierney. And we will begin this morning with introductions of members of the court. I'm Mike Havokin, the Chief Justice, and now by order of seniority as to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. This is Justice Miller Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie Stacy.
Good morning, Jeff Funk.
Jonathan Papik. Good morning.
And John Kreidenberg.
Council, Ms. Fangmeier, are you with us here today?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. And Mr. McDermott, are you here today? Good morning to you. Do either council have any questions before we begin? Thank you. We would appreciate it if you keep your masks on when you are not presenting to the court. But when you are presenting, we would appreciate it if you take your mask off so that we can hear and understand what you have to say. Ms. Fangmeier, again, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Your Honor, I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal.
You may.
And I would also like to point out that my client, Mr. Tierney, is in the courtroom with us today. Mr. Chief Justice, Your Honors, may it please the court. This is a case involving a farming cattle operation up in Custer County. Mr. Tierney has appealed from the order of the lower court granting Catherine Tierney what amounts to an additional 4+ acres of land not contemplated in the original decision of the court or by the parties.
Contemplated by which court?
The original district court and then later by the appellate court. What this is
what did the appellate court say?
The appellate court said that the district court's award of a certain tract of land to Catherine interfered with his ability to continue the cattle operation. And therefore they awarded this what is known as the red tract to Mr. Tierney. Now, what happened in this case is that during the entire course of the case and through the trial, the parties identified the property and several pieces of real estate, and they were color-coded for trial purposes. But one thing that was clear was that the house was identified as a house and 1 acre. It appears that way on the property statement, which is Exhibit 3 for these proceedings. It was a joint.
Does the Court of Appeals opinion make any reference to the size of the tract?
I do not, the Court of Appeals decision is my recollection without trying to find it real quick is that it refers to the house. But what it also did was make it clear that Mr. Tierney should have his cattle operation and the pieces of real estate that go with that cattle operation. The parties identified the house and 1 acre in the property statement. It was when in Mrs. Tierney's assessment or appraisal of the property, or we had a battle of the values of the real estate, and in their appraisal, they included the house and 1 acre for $105,000. Mr. Tierney agreed.
Did anybody in the process, either party or either court, ever identify specifically by meets and bounds 1 acre?
No, the parties didn't. The parties didn't bring up any zoning issues at the original trial. The property statement and their appraisal, it was a house and 1 acre. I want to point out what's clear to me in the Court of Appeals was that Mr. Tierney should have access to what he needs to do his cattle operation. And if you look at the exhibit number, exhibit number 20 that was introduced at the when this motion for to approve the meets and bounds came up, exhibit number 20 is a picture of the property that was of Mrs. Tierney's draft of the meets and bounds, and there's a picture that shows that there are still buildings in the 5.5 plus acres that she's asking to be awarded to her, that she still is, has some of the buildings that he uses for his farming operation.
Which,
and there's pasture land. It's exhibit number 20.
Well, which buildings are that?
There would be a barn. And I can, I don't have that exhibit in front of me, Your Honor, but there's a, no, there's a granary, and there's a shop and a shed where he keeps tools, machinery, tools basically. But then there's also pasture land that is part of that, which is also part of his operation. The property division.
Did Mr. Tierney ever introduce a request of the district court judge specifically what he wanted, meets and bounds, in regard to that house?
If the question is whether we produced any meets and bounds for a house in 1 acre, no, we did not. We also know we have to go through a zoning, the Custer County zoning regulations variance process to get there. But I think this case is a clear one where a variance is appropriate, and I'm confident that it would happen. For a lot of reasons. One, this is what the parties anticipated from the very beginning of the case. The extra things she's getting are part of his cattle operation, and the Court of Appeals is very clear that he should have his cattle operation and the land that he needs to operate there, including the pasture, granary, shed, and the, now I just lost my train of thought. The parties anticipate that it was, the house was valued as a house with 1 acre, and this was the thought, the equalization figure, the property division equalization, was based on her having a house and 1 acre. So when the division was set out with how many acres he would get, how many acres she would get, it was based on her.
Is there anything in the record about the difference of the value of the house with 5 acres as to the value of the house with 1 acre?
Nothing in the record. You just have to make some assumptions based on what the that pink, the one section of land where the house is located, how it was valued,
assessed by the house. What was the value per acre?
Oh, shoot, Your Honor. that I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Was it $1,000 an acre or $2,000 an acre?
Let me see here if I can find it on the property statement.
I guess what I'm getting to is the difference between 1 acre and 5 acres less than $10,000?
I don't, yes. If I found the property statement in my thing, it shows on what our values were per acre for that piece. But yeah, it is less than $10,000.
Do we know the value of the buildings?
Not separately, and they were never appraised separately from the thing. The point is that these are buildings he uses for his farming operation. And I'm confident that with a request to the Custer County zoning board that he would get a variance because it's part of his zoning operation. In addition to that's what the parties contemplated throughout this thing was be the house in 1 acre. Neither one of us brought up the zoning ordinances. That came after the fact.
Who makes the request of the zoning?
Well, in this case, it would be my client who would make that.
That.
No, he has not done that yet. We chose not to do that until we go through this process.
So he is the seller or the transfer of the property would have to permission to transfer that size of property. Is that correct?
He'd have to, well
seek,
you know,
variance.
I think that he would do the variance, or I suppose Mrs. Tierney perhaps should do the variance because she's the one that's going to get the house in 1 acre when the zoning regulations limit it to, that say it should be either 5 or in some instances 3 acres. So I'm not sure who asked for it, but certainly Mr. Tierney, because he's the one that wants it to be a house in 1 acre, it would seem logical to me. She doesn't want it to be that way. This, she brought this up after the zoning regulations came up after the fact. So I imagine he would be the one that would be asking for that.
Is there anything in the record that tells us how long Custer County has had county zoning?
I know that the zoning regulations that we put into evidence, these are the latest ones that are 2019, excuse me, and at the, they were modified from 2004. I don't know, there's nothing in the record other than those dates that are on the front of the zoning regulations that were.
At least the record would indicate that some countywide zonings existed in Custer County since at least 2004.
That would be correct, Your Honor.
And there have been subdivision limitations in statute long before 2004 that were premised, however, upon the existence of countywide zoning, right?
That is my understanding.
And so this should not have come as a surprise to anyone associated with this enterprise, should it?
I don't disagree with that one bit. It came up after the trial, after the decision, after the appeal came down. So yes, perhaps Mr. McDermott and I should have anticipated it, but we did not.
Very good, thank you.
The request for meets and bounds, do you believe it was more properly made to the Court of Appeals in connection with the decision? Or where?
Oh, I don't know if that's, I hadn't thought about that, Your Honor.
In terms of a request to reconsider or a hearing or something like that?
I'll be honest and say that that had not occurred to me.
Presumably, the issue didn't come up until the mandate had been issued and acted upon, right?
That's my understanding.
So, no jurisdiction in the Court of Appeals at that point, is there?
No.
Was it all just
although I will say this, I don't have the dates of when Mr. McDermott, I can enlighten you of when he filed that. My recollection is that it was, you know, after the mandate, because the district court didn't have any jurisdiction at that point. So it was after the mandate that he filed his motion for to approve the meets and bounds.
Your time is up. Chief, may I ask one more question?
You certainly may.
Was it always just a sort of a hypothetical 1 acre that went with the house?
There has never been a description. The only thing that comes close is that in Mrs. Tierney's appraisal, because we had a battle of the appraisers, he identifies the house and 1 acre and puts a value on it. And then he values the rest of the land that was in that section where the house is located. So that's the closest we have to, anything.
Any geographical markers, bushes, trees, drives, sidewalks, anything that connected to the use of that property that identifies the boundaries of that acre?
Not at the time of trial. There was nothing that was presented to that effect, no.
May I ask one more
question? Yes, you may.
Assuming that we disagree with the argument about the law of the case and that we conclude that it's appropriate for the district court to divide 5 acres. What is your quarrel, if any, with the specific 5 acres that the district court selected?
What I saw there is a draft of one. It's not been approved, it's not official. So yeah, we may have some issues with how that is drawn out. So yes, there could be an issue come up with that.
Is it?
Though I think we argue at the county register of deeds level, so.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. McDermott, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm John McDermott. I'm here this morning with my client, Catherine Tierney. I did want to address immediately the alleged errors in the order that they were placed in the appellant's brief. The first one was that the trial court erred in awarding a 5.24-acre tract to Catherine Tierney. Actually, the trial court really only had one option before. It had the motion before to set a meets and bounds description that complied with the local county zoning rules and regs. And so the court could either deny it, approve it, or modify it as long as it was within those county rules and regs. So for example, we had a surveyor come out
and it came out at 5.24, it's possible that the county, the district court could have said, no, I want this to 5 acres. I'm going to give the minimum and that's it. So the court could have modified it. There was really no other option before the trial court at the time. If you think about it, there was no meets and bounds description given by Mr. Tierney as to what he thought that should be. There was no request for continuance to apply for a variance. There was no petition filed for a variance with the local zoning authorities. So when this matter comes on before the district court, there really is only one option for the court to do. When we get to the third allegation of error in this case, what they're saying is that the district
why couldn't the court just say you're just getting 1 acre?
Okay, judge, the court could possibly have done that. Where's the start and end point of that meets and bounds description?
Couldn't the court order you to come up with it?
I suppose it could have, but I'm here ready to go. I've got my description. What, and I mean, where's the court? The court would have to make this out of thin air.
It wasn't a court of equity. I mean, the court could have said what's equitable.
It is a court of equity, and it could have.
Trial evidence all said a house of 1 acre. Couldn't the court have said, I don't see a 1 acre meets and bounds description. I'm requiring that you go back. I'm going to continue the trial until we have that.
I think the court could very well have done that. I agree with you, Judge. It's also a court of equity. And I think if you look at exhibit number 20, and you'll see that the diagram of that 5.24 acres allows Mr. Tierney to have all the facilities that he needed for his cattle. At trial, he testified he needed the corrals in the arena. He has the corrals in the arena on his tract. So there are a couple of outbuildings, but if you just think about this, and I know you've all been out to Custer County before, but I can't imagine getting a house only on a 1 acre tract in Custer County with no outbuildings. A 1 acre tract also would limit the amount of, and number of animals you could have. And that's true in any county, not just Custer County. So
are the outbuildings that were included in the tract you proposed part of the cattle operation?
No. If you take a look at, and that's noted in my brief, he asked for the corrals in the arena, and those are partitioned off to him, and so that they're excluded from the 5.24 acre tract.
You're telling me that they, regardless of what he's asked for or didn't ask for, these outbuildings were not used as part of the cattle operation?
No. The buildings that he used in his day-to-day operations, and if you think about it, and I know that you're aware of it, out in western Nebraska, the last place you want to keep these cattle is in the corrals or an arena.
Were the outbuildings included in the appraisal for the house and the 1 acre?
No. Here's what happened, Judge, just so I can clarify that a little bit. What happened is we had a number of acres that we had appraised. We had two appraisals, and the court ended up taking the lower appraisal because there had been a devaluation of the property during the time that we tried this in 2017. So their appraiser didn't even value the house, just said, I did not include a valuation of the house. Now, we understood there is an intrinsic value to the house, which would include assorted little outbuildings, just as the Ferguson house over here has a carriage house and another building. So if I own the Ferguson house and I left that to you upon my death and said, I'll give you the Ferguson house, and my daughter comes up and says, well, how about the carriage house? And what, you know, there's an understanding that would include a certain amount of outbuildings, I think. But so the answer is no, he doesn't use those other outbuildings in his building. So we specifically tailored that so he would have what he needs for his operation. And the trial court was aware of that when we submitted that exhibit.
Can a meets and bounds decision be done for 1 acre excluding the outbuildings?
It would, but in this case, had the judge done it, she would have immediately entered an illegal order, an order that would have been at least in violation of the county's zoning rules and regs. That's the difficulty here, is the judge, in all fairness to Judge Noakes, she's between a rock and a hard place. And if I can go back, nobody ever identified the house literally, meaningfully, as a house in 1 acre. That was a generic description that it would be the house in the appropriate number of acres, whatever the minimum would be, because it varies in each county, that the house, that would be the value of the house. So, as
Mr.
I said,
McDermott, what is your understanding of the law of the case doctrine, and how does it apply here?
Well, Judge, we think that the law of the case doctrine doesn't apply here. If it does apply, there's an exception. And it's noted in my brief that there's two exceptions to the law of the case analysis. And one is it doesn't apply if there's a consideration of substantial justice suggests that a reexamination of the issue is warranted. And the second one is if there's materially and substantially different facts than the prior proceeding. Well, I don't think it's number two. And I think clearly here, I don't think that the meets and bounds description of the trial court ran afoul of the mandate from the Court of Appeals. And even if the law of the case doctrine generally applied, an order strictly adhering to that order from the Court of Appeals would violate the local zoning regulations. So thus, I think in the consideration of substantial justice would support the trial court's adoption of the meets and bounds description that the court implemented in this particular case. So that's how we would address that, Your Honor.
Was it your client's position that she wanted the 5.24 acres to abide by the zoning regulations, but it had to be the 5.24 acres that included these buildings, or could it be just any 5.24 acres that include the house and pasture ground?
It needed to include some of those, Judge.
And why is that?
Because he didn't use those. And they would be auxiliary or adjunct buildings to any home. You have to have a shed. You have to put some of it. She has items as well. She has to put items in a shed. So some of those were necessary for her. She uses those.
What did the Court of Appeals opinion say about?
It didn't address the buildings at all. No, didn't address the buildings at all. Just said.
Didn't say that they were important for his operation.
No. It just said what happened, if I remember it correctly, what they said was, well, he has a cattle operation. He lives approximately 11 miles away. And they cited a Supreme Court case and that said because it separates him from, you know, during the winter or if the cattle gets loose, whatever, he should be closer to that. So it awarded him that whole red tract, but gave Mrs. Tierney the house. It did not address the outbuildings.
Excuse me, I do have a question, if I may. And yes, sir, was there a reference in the Court of Appeals opinion? I guess you all are color coded to a green track.
Yes, the green track is what they ended up awarding Mrs. Tierney instead of the red track and the pink track that she had been awarded. The home is located on the red track. And Mrs. Fagemeyer is correct. No party ever figured that that house would be separated from the red tract. And so, quite frankly, we were all taken aback when the Court of Appeals awarded the house to Mrs. Tierney. Our position was the trial court understood that there was no meets and bounds description to the house and didn't need it because it was awarding the house and the red tract, the surrounding red tract, along with the pink tract to Mrs. Tierney. The Court of Appeals.
The appraisal for the house included all the outbuildings?
No, just was to my knowledge, it was just the house.
You just said the house was the outbuildings were always going to be included with the house, but the appraisal didn't include the outbuildings of the house.
No, but I think the parties understood. I don't think anybody expected.
Well, the expert didn't understand.
No, and I don't think any of the parties expected that the house and the red track would be separated. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, the house and the red track.
Yes, Your Honor.
I apologize. I may have misunderstood.
So I don't think
I beg your pardon. Was there an assumption that that the wife would be awarded a barn, the granary, and the shop in some fashion?
No, Judge, those items were never discussed. Those items were never discussed.
So is there value to the outbuildings?
I don't think there's much value to the outbuildings.
Your client's offered to pay $1,400 per acre for those extra 4 acres?
I think we may have made that offer, Your Honor. And if I can come back to a question by the Chief Justice earlier, the total value of the granary, whatever the buildings there are, and the 4 extra acres would be less than $20,000. This was a over $2 million marital estate. We're talking less than 1%. So if Mrs. Tierney ends up with 51% and Mr. Tierney ends with 49%, I think we're well within the discretion of Division of Assets and Debts in this case. And my time is up unless you have any other questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments in Tierney versus Tierney. Again, counsel, and oh, you certainly may.
Sorry.
No problem at all. Please, today, everyone, when you leave, the courtroom, if you can continue to mask, that would be very good. And if you could leave by the side door to the court's left and your right. Thank you very much. The court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Whittle versus Health and Human Services.